Welcome to Mac Convert, the show about Bobby J, who bought a Mac and might not be going back to Windows again. Here's Bobby J.
You're listening to Mac Convert.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Mac Convert. This is Bobby J, and hi, how are you guys been? It's been a long time since I've been with you. I've had some health issues and some other things going on, and also with the holidays, I gotta tell you, it's pretty difficult to get podcasting, and really, I'm just enjoying the holidays, enjoying the special time with the family and all that good stuff, but I finally got a chance to get around and do a podcast. I'm doing it right now from my work, believe it or not. I'm downstairs at my work. I do a computer job by day. I'm kind of like Superman or something, you know, where I have my daytime job and then at night I'm a rogue podcaster or something like that. Anyway, I'm recording on my new M-Audio Ozonic. The Ozonic is a keyboard. But it's not just any keyboard. This thing is very special. It's got an audio interface with phantom power. So I'm using my Marshall MXL990 mic with my pop filter and plugging that directly into the M-Audio Ozonic. For some reason, I've got a big latency problem. And if you guys don't know what latency is basically the time it takes if you're doing software monitoring of your feed or of your sound, the time it takes the sound to come back through the buffer. And for some reason, when I'm doing it in GarageBand, the latency, if I monitor through GarageBand, is horrible. So what I decided to do was monitor it directly on the Ozonic and bypass GarageBand's monitoring. So I can't hear any effects. I can't hear the sweetness that it does to my vocals. I got to apologize there. So, but anyway, it's good to be back. It's great. I tell you what, I am just loving my Mac, and there's a lot of news, a lot of things going on. And so I thought we could get into that and just discuss, you know, what's going on in all of the different things there. First of all, I wanted to say thank you to Jackie Pepper. Hopefully it's all right, Jackie, that I'm using your name. But Jackie Pepper sent me an email. She sent me an email. She keeps sending me emails and wondering, hey, are you still alive? Are you still podcasting? And yes, Jackie, I am. I'm still alive, and I'm going to be podcasting more regularly coming up here. There's a lot of great information that's coming out, so we got to keep the podcasts fresh and coming to you on a regular basis. I'm going to try to put out one episode, regardless of whether or not it's crappy, if it's good. You're going to get one episode a week from me starting this week. So today is, I don't know, January 17th, 18th, something like that. I don't remember. But anyway, thanks a lot, Jackie, for emailing. Jackie actually emailed last week, and I thought, after I got her email, I thought we might do a new segment on the Mac Convert. And the new segment is, just unique ways that you can use your Mac. Eventually, we're going to have some specials here for the traveling Mac user. We're going to give some tips on that. We're going to give some tips on the traveling podcaster or the mobile podcaster, the mobile, just the mobile person. I got to tell you, I'm to and from all the time. I'm podcasting from my car, from my work, you know, down in the basement. So we're going to talk about some interesting things to do with your Mac. One thing that Jackie brought to my attention, or brought back to my attention, because this is something that I had been doing, is using an external hard drive in order to facilitate or work with your media files. So if you have your DVDs, we're going to give here a few-step process here that will get your DVDs into files on your hard drive. And then once you've got the files on your hard drive, they will be accessible when the drive is connected. But if you've got something like a laptop computer or a MacBook, that MacBook or iBook will basically, you won't have to store the large files on it. So we're going to go from step one. Step one is you need to encode your videos into small files. As you know, most of us watch DVD videos, and DVD videos, whether you know it or not, are videos that are compressed, okay, from the original format. They're compressed into an MPEG-2 format. And MPEG-2 is just a compression algorithm that makes things look really clear, and that's what you see on a regular DVD picture. But MPEG-2 is it's quite a large file format, but also DVDs themselves, the media, the disc itself, most DVDs can hold between 4.5 or 5 gigabytes of data. Now, that's for a single-layer DVD. If you have a double-layer DVD, they can hold upwards of 10 gigabytes of... I think I said megabytes. I'm so stupid. I don't know. But anyway, they can hold 10 gigabytes of data if you have a dual-layer DVD. Now, I want to explain a little bit about the difference between dual-layer and regular-layer DVD. A dual-layer means that the laser, when it's burning the data onto a DVD, it burns at a different intensity. So there are actually the stronger laser burns deeper and the weaker laser burns lighter on the disc. So it's actually rereading the same part of the disc, but it's either reading deep or shallow on the disc surface itself. So you've actually got data that is on top of each other, and that's how a dual-layer disc works. You're virtually doubling the space you have available on a DVD. But most of the time when you've got a full-length movie, an hour and a half to two-hour movie, it doesn't take that 4.5 gigabytes of data. That's why they have enough space to put all your extra features, your different audio tracks, and that sort of thing. So what I choose to do is use a piece of software called Handbrake. Now what Handbrake does is it allows you to just grab the big portion. Now you can differentiate which portion of the disc, say you've got a television show or something like that that's got multiple episodes, you can grab individual episodes or individual pieces. You should be able to find out which is which by the length of the piece. In other words, you know, if it's a full-length movie, it'll be the one that's about an hour and a half long. Also, these programs do a pretty good job of guessing which is good for you. But you use Handbrake. And what I do when I use Handbrake is I choose to encode the movie into an AVI, a DivX AVI. So what that may involve for some of you is that you have to buy the DivX codec, or you can download, there are some free versions of the DivX codec available to you. But like I said, I use Handbrake. And I tend to use AVIs because AVIs are probably the most likely formats that you're going to see out there if you're trading files on the internet or if you're going from a Windows machine to a Mac machine. You know, if you've got QuickTime installed on either one, it's okay. But usually what I do, like I said, is I use the AVI format. Now, AVI is just a container, okay? That's just the file extension of your movie. There are two things involved to encoding a movie. One is the format, okay, or the container. That would be AVI in my case. The other part is what codec you're going to use in order to rip that movie, okay? And you have many codecs available to you. You can use MPEG-4 video codec. That's the same codec that iTunes uses. You can use DivX codec. You can use MPEG-2, which is your standard movie. What I choose to do is I'll encode it. And then that's just for your video. For your audio, you have AAC, which is like, you know, a QuickTime and iTunes, what they use. Or you can use standard MP3. You can use AUG, Vorbis. The codec is just a different algorithm or a way to make a file smaller. And in this case, we're talking about the audio. Remember, there are two parts to every DVD. You've got your audio that you hear and the video that you see. So you need to choose your appropriate codecs for your audio and video. Handbrake has a lot of built-in presets that you'll use. But once you get it down, what I choose to do is I get the target size of the disc to be 700 megabytes. And the reason I do this is because I can either keep these movies on a hard drive, or if my hard drive starts getting full, I can dump them off to very cheap CDR discs that are 700 megabytes in size. And in doing that, what I can do then is play them in my DVD player, because it actually plays DivX encoded movies. So if you encode in DivX and you make your target size 700 megabytes, even if you fill up your hard drive, you can burn them onto very inexpensive CDR discs. And after you do that, you'll have that available to you to use, or you can put it back in your computer and watch it at a later time. Now, the interesting part that Jackie Pepper brought back up, and it's something that I do all the time, and I guess I just took for granted if I never shared this with you. I may have, I don't remember. But what you can do in Front Row will read the movies that are resident in your movie folder. So on the hard drive, it's in users, your name, and then, or, you know, your username, and then there's a movies folder in there. And in that folder, if you put your movies, Front Row can find them. Okay, so what I do is, the great thing about Unix operating system or Macintosh is that you can create your shortcuts or your aliases. An alias is just like a shortcut in Windows. So you create an alias to your movie. The easiest way to do that is to hold down Option, Command. Remember, Command is the Apple. So Apple, Option, and then you drag. All you got to do is drag your movie file from your external hard drive into your movies folder. What that'll do is create an alias. Once you create the alias, then when you bring up Front Row using your handy little remote, you can now see your movies listed in Front Row, because your computer basically is seeing the alias and that hops over to where it's at on your hard drive. Now, the thing that's nice about this, excuse me, I bumped my microphone, but the thing that's nice about this is that you can take your hard drive then on the road, leave the external drive at home, and you're not using up all the hard drive space with your movies, and you're keeping your movies safe and separate. You can also choose if you have some CDs burn off, or you can choose to burn off some CDs before you go on the road. That way, if you lose them, you don't really need to worry. You've always got the hard copy back on your hard drive. So thanks, Jackie, for bringing that tip back up to us. I thought I would rehash that in case you haven't gotten that before in the Mac Convert. It's something that's really cool. Within the next few days, we're going to put out a special giving my thoughts on the iPhone. We just had the Macworld that happened last week in San Francisco. So I'll give you my thoughts on the iPhone just within a few days. We're doing some special releases this week of the Mac Convert. We're going to talk about the iPhone. We'll talk about Apple TV. And we'll talk about the Mac in general. I personally was a little disappointed to not see updates to the iLife suite, to not see more about the Macintosh at Macworld. But I got to tell you, I am absolutely excited for the iPhone. Hopefully, it'll be at least 2 years before I get one. To be absolutely honest with you, I'm going to have to wait till my Singular contract, or my Verizon contract is up. And hopefully by that time, Apple will realize that they want to open their phone to more carriers, maybe make an unlocked GSM phone or a CDMA phone that I can use on the Verizon network. So anyway, that's been Matt Convert for you today. Hopefully you guys have had a good time listening. We talked about today merely taking your movies, ripping them in Handbrake, making them a size that's good for putting them on CD, so that if you travel, you can you can lose these inexpensive CDs, and you can still have your regular DVD movies ripped onto your hard drive at home, and you've got yourself a mobile entertainment solution using your MacBook, using an external hard drive, and using Handbrake, and your own DVD collection. And the best part is, it's free. You don't got to go onto the iTunes store and pay $10, pay $15 for a new movie. So that's been the tip. This has been Mac Convert, and I'll talk to you soon. Don't forget to subscribe to Mac Convert using iTunes or your favorite podcast catcher.